In the beginning, 6 weeks ago or so, and so we're continuing on with that, going through the book of Genesis, but especially specifically through the first 11 chapters is the final. We may take a break and come back and then deal with Abraham and all his kids. Okay? So. All right, now we're on. All right, Genesis chapter 1. I want to look tonight, really starting, we'll just look at one verse because we've been going through this and we've looked at each of these verses multiple times, but tonight I want to start out and just look at verse number 26. If you're there tonight, say amen. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let's pray. Lord, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. We're grateful for each one that's came out, Lord, to hear your word, to study. We pray you'd open our eyes to help us to behold the wondrous things therein. Lord, we ask you to teach us tonight. We need thee. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In our last study on this series, after talking briefly about the fifth day of creation, we kind of opened up talking about that last week, where, of course, God made the sea life, and he made the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, and those things. Then we moved on and looked at the sixth day of creation, which began with the creation of animals. That sixth day begins with the creation of animals. And then, of course, it brought us to the creation of man. We said last week, man is the crown of all creation. And God literally saved the best for last. It wasn't that, he was creating the worst last, but he literally was saving the best for last. And that's not a pride thing. That's just a truthful thing. And, of course, the Lord's the one made us. He's the one that deserves all the glory. And so, but he saved the best for last. And in reality, I want you to understand, and this is what I've been trying to get you to see through the whole study, all creation, all of it, was made for man, was made for mankind. Now, we know ultimately all things were for the glory of God. But as far as the earth goes, all things were made for man. Turn this down just a little bit, brother. It's pretty hot. And I'm trying to talk quiet, and I can't talk quiet. So, but it's made for man, all right? And so, ultimately, that's the deal. After God formed the earth, I showed you this last week, on those first 3 days, he formed the earth, right? We see air, we see land, and we see light. All those things come those first 3 days. And God, what he was doing, God was forming the earth. And then the second 3 days of creation, God filled the earth. He filled the earth with plants and animals and such things, all right? And when everything, and so what he was doing was he was ultimately forming the earth and he was filling the earth or furnishing the earth to make it habitable for man. We looked at the verse last week that he made the earth habitable, have a habitation for man to live there, all right? And when everything was finally ready, then God creates man. His crown of creation, after he had prepared, you imagine, maybe a wife and a husband, they're fixing to get married, and he's building her home and building her home, building her, and the marriage hasn't taken place yet, right? It hasn't happened yet, but right there, just in time for them to get married, he had to take his wife, he puts the final touches on the house, and then he, of course, shows her that particular, well, it's kind of the same deal. God did everything to set man up for success in this earth, all right? And so he, when he's ready, he creates man, his crown of creation, places us in a perfect earth that was set up just for us. Last week, we looked at some of the details surrounding the creation of man. First, we determined biblically that when God said, let us make man in our image, when God said, let us make man in our image, we determined biblically, we looked at many verses, that God was speaking, God the Father was speaking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit when he said, let us make man in our image. He was speaking to the Son and to the Spirit. He wasn't speaking to multiple gods, as some would try and say. He wasn't speaking to angels. But he said, let us make man in our own image. And we also noted John chapter 1, verse 1, on down, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who? Jesus. So he's there in the beginning. All things were made by him, all right? And then it goes on, and we find out in verse 14 that the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. So we know that's none other than Jesus Christ. We also seen the Holy Spirit. There in verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God, verse 2 in your Bible, chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So very plainly we see from the Word of God that God created man, and he created man in his own image. In other words, a three-part being, and we talked about that. We'll mention that again maybe later, a triune being. And it's amazing that everything else that God creates, everything else he created, he merely spoke it into existence. But when he makes man, I want you to get the picture. He calls the entire Godhead together, brings them together for a meeting, and he says to each one, let us make man in our image. Oh, you need to see tonight that this was such a special event. It was such a wonderful thing. Why do you think that we're told in the 139th Psalm that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made? Doesn't say that about the animals. Didn't say that about the plants. They were made by the same Creator. But it says you and I, mankind, was fearfully and wonderfully made. Luke tells us that even the very hairs on our head are numbered. It's a very special thing God was doing when he brought the Godhead together and said, let us make man in our image. And please understand, it's so critical that you see the distinction here between man and all other creation, including animals. You see, here's the deal. Here's the truth. And I'm going to say it out loud. If mankind descended from animals, then this passage is not true. You understand that? If we came from the apes, the monkeys, the frogs, the whoever, then the Word of God's not true. This passage is not true. And the dignity and difference that God gave man above everything else that exists doesn't exist. There's no real distinction between us and animals. There's no real distinction between us and the plants. And one of the key things that has led our world into such depravity, please hear me. This is why, you see, we don't understand how critical the Word of God is in believing the Word of God for what it says. Listen, one of the key things that's led our world into such depravity is by denying what the Bible says here about the creation of man. We weren't created like some old animal. We were not created like a dog or a cat or a monkey. But the Bible says we were created in the image of God. And because that's true, please hear me. Because that's true, that places a special emphasis and premium and price tag upon my life and upon your life, even upon this body. One of the reasons I'm not for cremation. If you've done that or you believe that, that's fine, you know. You study that, you'll find that's what the pagans did. You know, I'm not for it. But one of the reasons is because I was made in the image of God. So were you. I'm not equal to a dog or a cat, and a dog or a cat's not equal with me. My life is worth more than their life. I didn't say that. God said that. You'll be amazed. I mentioned it last week. The people that literally are so sideways on this, and if you... I want to get into it. I can't listen to much of anything that the talking heads say, to be honest with you, and the libtards say. But listen, if you watched India last night, you already know how messed up our world is. Messed up, all right? And there's a group of people out there, more than you would want to know, that will think and tell you that, you know, if you harm that dog, you harm that cat. And I'm not for harming animals. I don't hurt animals. But if you do something, then I'll shoot you. You take and kill that cow to eat it. I'll take your life. There's people out there that believe that, by the way. That animal's life is not on the same level as your life, my life. God gave us dominion over them. And he created you and I in his image. Evolution wants to lower man down to the level of a beast or an animal. And because that so many believe that we're on the same level as a beast or an animal, many of them act like animals today. You ever wonder why we're seeing that the beastly attitudes and things that we're seeing today? People that literally, I mean, you know, they don't do things that's decent in order. There's no decency to it because they act like animals. You've got to understand that we're dealing with a generation that has spent their entire school years now. We've got a whole generation that we're dealing with that they spent their entire school years hearing that they came from a monkey, hearing that they came from a frog, hearing that they came from some amoeba or some other animal. And now today, watch this. Now today, because of it, please hear me, we're having to put litter boxes in bathrooms in schoolhouses. Why? You've told them they were animals for the last two or three generations. It's so critical to get the truth about creation of man. Now we're a couple of generations into this kind of teaching, and now children are identifying as some cat or dog or some Furby or whatever they're calling it. Oh, there's never been a time that this truth right here, verse number 26, was more important. Never been a time. We were made in the image of God. And so here God brings the entire Godhead together and he says, let us make man in our image. Why was this so important to God? Let us make man. This is the end of creation. He's created everything else, and then at the end, let us make man in our image. I'll tell you why. Because after he already, those first 5 days, he had the heaven and earth. He had the sun, moon, and stars. He had the planets. He had the plants. He had the trees. He had the animals. He had all those things, and all this beautiful creation, after all this beautiful creation, still God had no one to fellowship with. No one he could commune with. No one he could really connect with, because he is a spiritual being. And even the animals, as we mentioned last week, they're just body and soul. They have no spirit. They simply operate on instinct. There's no spirit to an animal. They can't connect with God on an intimate level or on a spiritual level. And by God creating man in his image, understand he created a being that is capable of developing a personal and a spiritual relationship with him. Plants have an unconscious life. They're not capable of thinking. They're just there. Animals have a body and a soul, but they do not have a spirit. Just notice with me, go back to, look with me here in Genesis chapter 1. And let's look here how it refers to animals. We'll just read down through several verses here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Tells you that. I'm going to jump on down here. Look at verse, starting in verse, let's just go ahead and start in verse 20. Well, no, back up to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. He made two great lights. Jump on down to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving, what's the word, underline it, creature. Creature. Those that hath life, they may fly above the earth, open firmament. And God created great whales and every living, what's the word, creature. Moveth. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the seas, and let the fowls multiply on the earth. In the evening more for the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living, what's the phrase, creature. After his kind. Creatures, all right? So it refers to all these animals as creatures. Now, the word creature comes from the Hebrew word nephesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh. And it means literally soul. Soul. That's all they are. They're creatures. They have a soul. Not a spirit. They simply have self-life and self-consciousness and existence while living. They have some intellect, but they do not have a spirit. There was a difference in their creation. You see, God simply spoke them into existence, but he draws the Godhead together for you and I and says, let us make man, and he takes the dust of the ground, he forms man and breathes in the nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. It's not the same thing. They're different. We got to see the distinction, the difference in their creation. Go to Luke chapter 12 with me quickly. We're going to be back in Genesis in a moment. Luke chapter 12. Verse 6 and 7. Who's got it? Luke 12, 6 and 7. Tyler? Underline that. Ye are of more value. I told you. God said that my life's worth more than their life. You're of more valuable than many sparrows. More value than many sparrows. Genesis 2:7. You know it. It says this. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. What is that? What part of us is that? He formed man out of the dust of the earth. What part of man is that? We're a triune being. It's the body. Breathed into his nostrils. What part is that? Is that it? Breathed into his nostrils. What's wind? Always is the spirit, right? Wind, the spirit. Breathed into his nostrils. It's backwards how it's put in there. We always call it body, soul, and spirit. But technically the way it puts it in there is spirit. So body, spirit. Then man became a living what? Soul. All right? So you have body, soul, and spirit right there in Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 3:19 tells us, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return in the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Dust thou art, so that's the body, right? We were made of dust. It tells us again, that's how we were made. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you can note this verse. And for sake of time, we won't turn there, but I want you to listen to it. Ecclesiastes 12, I'm going to give you 12:1 and then verse 7. Remember now thy creator, so he's talking about creation. We're thinking about the creator God. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we remember the creator in the days of our youth. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, watch this, and the spirit shall return to God unto who gave it. God gave man a spirit. That's the biggest thing that makes us different from the animals. And he has a plan. He says, because why? He loves us so much, we're so important to him. The body will turn back to dust. The spirit goes back to God. How did God give us a spirit? We just talked about it. How did God give us a spirit? Breathed into our nostrils. You look up wind, breath, breathe, all that spirit, it's all the same word. Because he did breathe into us, we have what's needed to have a relationship with him. That's how we can connect with him. We can worship him in spirit and in truth. Everything else God created in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 25, he called it at the end of it all, good. Finally, he creates man, verse number 31, and he said it was very good. Very good. It's the very crown of creation. Now, all this creation, of course, was so that man being the only being who could have a relationship with God. Now I want you to notice with me, verse number 26. Not only did God create us in his own image, here's where I really want to get, this is really the crux of what I want to talk to you about tonight. But notice what else it says in verse 26, because we read past this and we act like it's the same thing, and it's not. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Notice this little phrase we read past. After our likeness. After our likeness. In Genesis 5:1, we read the same kind of thing. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. In the likeness of God made he him. He made man in his likeness. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Please understand, these are two completely different things. Being created in the image of God and being created in the likeness of God. You see, it's one thing to look like somebody and to have that same general makeup. In this case, like God, we're triune being, right? So a three-part being. So we're in his image. And so it's one thing to look like somebody, but it's another thing entirely to be like somebody. I'm sure many of you have seen this in your children, or maybe you've even seen it in somebody else's children. Family has a son. The son looks exactly like the father. I mean, especially from behind, man, you can't tell them apart. Look, walks like him, looks exactly like his father. But when you get to know him a little bit, he's nothing like his father. You see, it is possible to look like someone but not be like someone. We were created in his image, also to be after his likeness. Image is representation. It's resemblance. Likeness is character. You understand the difference? Image is what we look like, it's representation, but likeness is character, and it's very possible to share the same image as someone else but not have the same character that they have. God said, not only did I make you in my own image, don't miss it, but also in my likeness. In other words, you should share my character. My character ought to be your character. Not only should you look like me, but you should act like me. And I want to say tonight what a slap in the face it is to God to watch men and women, boys and girls, walk around and act like something God never intended for them to be. God never intended for you to act like an animal or act like some kind of beast. He said after his likeness. God never intended for a man to look or act like a woman or for a woman to act like a man. He created us to be in his likeness. Image is representation. In other words, it's how we resemble someone. We resemble God in the fact that we're triune being. We're body, soul, and spirit. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Likeness is character. How did he make us in his likeness? Righteousness. Innocence. We were created in righteousness. We were created in innocence. God, please understand, don't you believe this mess that's going around today, like all the other heretical teachings, that somehow man created a fallible creature? Not on your life. He did give man a free will. Otherwise, we'd be Ottomans. I told you a million times, I'll tell you again, love demands a choice. The reason that God had to give us a free will is because we'd have been no better than the angels otherwise. Angels are created beings. They do what God tells them to do, or they're fallen angels. It's that simple. You and I have a choice. I've said it, used this illustration before. If I was the only man on earth and my wife married me, I'd have to think, well, did she just marry me because I was the only one? But if there was another choice, it makes all the difference in the world, don't it? Wow, she chose me. The reason that God had to give us a free will is because love demands a choice. He said, I'm not going to force you to love me. I want you to love me. I'll do everything I can to get you to love me, but it's your choice. It's your choice. Likeness is character. That character God created us with is righteousness and innocence. We had both. Watch this. Don't miss this. We had both at creation. When God created man, we had his image and we had his likeness. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then chapter 5, verse 1, he said he did create man after his likeness. We had both from the beginning. But we lost the likeness. We lost his likeness when man fell into sin. This is an important verse. I do want you to turn there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. We had both God's image and his likeness at the beginning, but we lost the likeness of God when man fell into sin. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. Who's there? Anyone got it? Go ahead, Miss Jo. at that. God made man upright, means righteous, innocent. But man sought out many inventions. God made us upright. That's how he created. In what? In his image and in his likeness. So from the original creation, God created man not only in his image but in his likeness. That is in righteousness, in innocence. But we lost the likeness when we fell into sin, when mankind fell into sin. But even though man fell into sin, we still maintain God's image. We still have a body, soul, and spirit. Now, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, we find this out. This is, by the way, after the fall of man, where God's laying down some laws of the land. Man's already fallen at this point. You get to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. This is God talking with Noah. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So we see, even after the fall, we still have the image of God. We see God proclaims the image still there. And it carries on the New Testament, by the way. In 1 Corinthians 11:7 says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as not he was, but says, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. And so that's 1 Corinthians 11:7. 1 Corinthians 11:7. Man is the image of God. And so we lost the likeness in the garden. Glad we have a chance to get it back. We lost the likeness in the garden, but we maintained the image. But you see, while God originally created man in his image and his likeness, you and I who were born after the fall, you know what we were born spiritually dead. D-O-A. We were born dead on arrival. How many of you ever heard about or maybe even had a part in a stillborn? Baby was born, but they were born dead. They came out of the womb, had the birth, everything, but they were dead. They weren't speaking, they weren't talking, they weren't breathing, they weren't doing anything. When you and I were born physically, we were alive, but spiritually, we were born dead, stillborns. Why? Because we got a fallen nature from our father, Adam and Eve, mother. And we were born spiritually dead. The Bible puts it this way. God told Adam, in the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he did begin to die spiritually that day. And he took the forbidden fruit. And Paul puts it this way in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, that one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned, our spirit died that day. Before we were ever born, we were born spiritually dead. So this speaks of a spiritual death. So we had image, but we had no longer had likeness. Ephesians 2 sheds more light on it, verses 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means to be made alive. You hath he made alive, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Listen to the rest of it. Wherein in time past, before you got saved, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul says here, you were born spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And because you were born spiritually dead, the first part of your life, you walked, he said, according to the course of this world. You came in the world, you weren't saved all automatically. Many of you may weren't saved till later in life. But he said, when you were born in trespasses and sins, and you walked according, he said, to the course of this world. Why? Because you didn't have God's living spirit in you guiding you. In fact, Paul tells us here who was guiding us before we got saved, and before that spirit quickened us by Christ. He says, not only did we walk according to the course of this world, but in Ephesians 2, we were just reading, he says, we also walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked after the spirit of Satan. Not the Spirit of God. But thank God when he saved us, he quickened us. He made our spirit alive, and that breathed life in that dead spirit again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Now, don't you understand, that word creature there is not the same as the word we read about the animals, but it's the word creation, literally, okay? So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and that matters. Oh, I'm going to tell you why in a minute. A new creation. So while we lost his likeness when man fell into sin, we still maintain that image of body, soul, and spirit. It was just a dead spirit. We need God to quicken that spirit. When we get saved, his spirit indwells us. And when his spirit indwells us and quickens our dead spirit, we ought to get some of that likeness back. Y'all with me? We ought to get some of that likeness back. Ephesians 4:24, very good verse. Very good verse. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God, it's after God, just like we were made in the image of God, likeness of God, which after God is created. Oh, watch this now. This is another creation. We just read it in 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. It says, and that you put on the new man. Ephesians 4:24, which after God, that new man's after God, is created in right. Here it is again. In righteousness and holiness. Sounds like how he created us in the first place, don't it? Created in righteousness and holiness, but because mankind is born into a fallen world. Listen, this is who we should be. This is what we ought to be if we're saved. We ought to be following after that and put on that new man that's been created in God, that's given us righteousness and true holiness, but because mankind's born into a fallen world by fallen parents that have a fallen nature, we no longer have God's spirit at birth, but we're dead in trespasses and sin. We don't have his likeness at birth. The only way we can be like him, understand, the only way we can be like him in character, and the only way we can have his likeness is by having his spirit. God's spirit can only be seen and observed through his spirit. You understand? God's character. God's character can only be observed through his spirit. Galatians 5. I do want you to turn there. Galatians 5. God's character can only be shown and observed through his spirit. We got to have his spirit. We'll never have his likeness until we get his spirit. But boy, when we get his spirit, we ought to have his likeness. Galatians 5:22. Start there. Who's with me? Raise your hand if you got it. Galatians 5:22. Miss Barb, you want to read verse 22? Yes. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they, watch this, that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Please understand this. Only by the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, only can his likeness, listen, can God's likeness ever be restored to us? By the work of the Holy Spirit. And it should be the desire of every single believer in here tonight to be in the likeness of our Creator God, to be in his likeness. The fact that we and only we, mankind that is, only us, we're only we are made in his image and in his likeness. And that fact alone, that we're the only ones that are made in his image and in his likeness, should encourage us to strive to bear not only his image, but also to bear his likeness, his holiness, his righteousness. Watch this. If the world can't see it in us, who can they see it in? We're the only ones that can bear his, not only his image, but his likeness, his faith, his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, his gentleness, his goodness, his meekness. Well, the only ones that can show the world who he is and how he is. You know, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're representatives of all he is and who he is. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors to the world of what the Lord's like. 1 John 2:6. It's a good verse. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, watch this, even as he walked. You say you abide in him? We're to be in his likeness, we're to be like him. He says that we ought to walk the way he walks. That's being in his likeness. 1 John 4:16-17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Watch this. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, the love, the faith, the meekness, the goodness, the joy, the gentleness. As he is, he's in glory. But as he is, so are we in this world. You see, even after we're saved, it's possible to still bear his image, but not his likeness. Once again, think of a set of twins, or maybe even just a set of two brothers, and you can have a resemblance, but be nothing alike in character. Many brothers or sisters grow up in the same house. You think about it, they have the same parents. They have the same bloodline. They eat the same food. They share some of the same, most of the same DNA. But they're completely different in character. And if you want to see a stark contrast to this, look at my family. Because I have three sisters. I'm not anything like any of them. You see, you can have the same image, but not the same likeness. One deals with resemblance. The other deals with character. Completely different. We can have his form or image or appearance, but not have his love. Not have his long-suffering. We can have the triune being. We can be body, soul, and spirit, just like he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But we can be like that in his image and share his image or his appearance, but not have the love, not have long-suffering, not have meekness, not have joy. God said in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, that we're nothing but dust. Now think about this. Paul said it this way. We have this treasure, I hope you know what it is, we'll tell you, in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, just a vessel of clay, a temple of clay. That's all this is. And we can dress it up, but at the end of the day, it's still nothing but dust. It's earthy. The Lord said, I have specifically chosen to put my treasure, other words, my son, my spirit, in earthly pots of clay. I've chosen to put them there within you, in those pots of clay. Now, why would he do this? You ever thought about, you never ever see a masterpiece framed with gold or framed with jewels or framed with lights, because that would distract from the masterpiece. The frame is to be mundane. The frame should be very simple, not really noticeable, or not something that's noticed very often, so that the attention might be on the masterpiece. The treasure and the masterpiece to us and in us is the Spirit of God. He puts it in earthen vessels, and it's not me that's supposed to stand out and stick out. It's him. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. It's him. When we bear not only his image, but also his likeness, his masterpiece shows. When we have the fruits of the Spirit, his likeness is able to shine through our life, and our life is a testimony, example of who God really is. They see that through us. What a wonderful thing it is to be created in the image of God. Think about it. We're created in the image of God. And we oftentimes relish in that fact, but we need to understand that we were also created in his likeness. And that takes some work by fallen man, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in his life. Because we have his treasure and earthen vessel, we ought to spend every day meditating, observing him, because we were created in his likeness, getting to know him so we can allow his Spirit to make us more like him. What a wonderful truth when we think about the creation that God said to you and I. He said to mankind, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Truly, God did something special when he created man. Something I want you to think about. It's amazing to me. Just like God brought the Godhead together when he created man, and he said that, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and man fell into sin. He corrupted God's image. He fell from God's likeness. So we corrupted God's image we were made in. Then we fell from God's likeness. Lamont got to thinking about this. God's brought the entire Godhead together again for another meeting. The entire Godhead comes together again for another meeting to redeem and restore and ultimately recreate man. For God so loved the world, there's God in that meeting that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the new plan for recreation of man. You know, you're talking about the spirit of man, to quicken his spirit. God, he sent his only Son. His Son, there he is, Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. In Hebrews, he said, Father, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be obedient to your will. In 2 Corinthians, it's put this way. Chapter 8, verse 9, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. So we have God the Father, God the Son, they're all involved in creation. Now they're all involved in our redemption, recreation. But the Holy Spirit's also involved. John 14, verse 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Won't you look with me at John 16 quickly? John 16. John 16, and I want to start reading in verse number 7. So we've seen God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit right here that's brought together in a meeting again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, that's what he's going to do, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. He's going to get that righteousness back. Judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are thine. Now who's talking right here? Red letter. God, ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus, right? Red letter edition. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, there's the Spirit of truth, Jesus is speaking. Now we got the Spirit of the truth come. He's going to guide you in all truth. Jump down to verse 14. He shall glorify me, that's Christ, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it in you. All things, now here's the Father, okay, hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. I want you to understand. God said we're all working together to get mankind back what he lost in the garden. What is it? His likeness. Romans 8, 14 through 17, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, watch this, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him. I said to you earlier in 1 Corinthians 5:17, that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. He's a new creation. We read earlier about becoming that and allowing ourselves to become that new man who is created after God. The new man. Not talking about when we were born, but when we were born again. The new man was created after God. Created again after God. Understand, God has pulled all his resources together one more time that you and I could be not only in his image, but once again be after his likeness. It's not enough that we say, well, we bear his image. Let me ask you tonight. You're already in his image. But are you after his likeness? Because that's who he created you to be. That's who he created me to be. And too often times we're not being the people that God has created us to be. And that one truth alone ought to show you the fallacy and the filthiness that's involved in all the stuff going on in the world. We're trying to be something completely distant from what God ever wants you to be. He created me, created you in his image. It's a wonderful thing, but after his likeness. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We pray you'd bless now our time of prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, a lot more I'd like to tell you. We're out of time. Anybody got any special prayer requests? Special spoken? Chris, what you got?